Okay, good evening. What we should do tonight is the Gemara Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph going over to Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. If you remember, what basically happened was that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is once taking a walk with Reb Simloy, who's his shamus, and he tells him, Simloy, you missed the day in yeshiva, nena nekishkish, and the day that you missed, the good stuff happened, we were matir shemen. So Reb Simloy says, hey, you should have been matir pas also. So Reb Yehuda Nasiya says, no, I can't be matir pas, because if I would do that, I would get a reputation as being, like, too makel. And we pointed out last time, I think, that there's a machlokas between the Bar Tanur and the Rambam, whether a reputation that you're makel is just a reputation that you're makel, whether it's, like, objectively usur to be too makel. Hi, Zoe.
Could it be possible that he was matir shem and pot in
So you get the impression that even if they were matir the same things on one day, it's still two separate kulas, and it would still right. The concern is if you're matir three things, so then you become a Beis Din Sharia, you become too permissive as a Beis Din, right? You don't want to get a reputation, right? This is like one of the hard issues. You don't want to get a reputation as being too makel, because then everyone asks you questions, or then they don't take you seriously, whatever the issue is. So Reb Simloy says, but one second. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, you were only makel on one thing, and that would not give you a reputation as being too makel, because the source of getting reputation for being too makel is the Mishnah in Idyos that says that Yosef ben Yoezer, who's one of the Zugos, was makel on three things: Ayel Kamtza, Mashkin Be Mat Bechaya, and Yikrav Lamesa. So now we are going to go through that Mishnah in Idyos, although the Gemara did say that really Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was also makel on one other thing, which is basically that Zmano Shoshtar Mochiach Olav, that he paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that in the case of Im, we can be makel on the get and assume it's not a get la'achar misa. So let's pick up from the five lines on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph. Gufa, Hayad Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda, Al Ayo Kamtza Dachan, Vamashka Be Mat Bechaya, Dachan bad Yikrav Lamesa Misaav Vikarula Yosef Sharya. So the Gemara asks, my Ayo Kamta. What is Ayo Kamta? And the Gemara says two possibilities, and we don't understand either of them. Did anyone look them up, like in Jastro, what these things are, Shushiva and Suspil?
And Rashi. No, only from one of them.
Yeah, well, so Shushiva and Suspil are two types of grasshoppers, but presumably there are names for, by the way, grasshoppers and locusts are the same thing. Just locusts is when you have a swarm of them, for those of you preparing for the Pesach Seder. So you can discuss whether it's Shushiba or Susbil and try to have a very exciting adult conversation about the Makkah of Arbe. But no idea. So the Gemara says that either it's Shushiba or Susbil. Rav Papa says Shushiba, and the Machlokes is Rosho Aruch, right? One says it's permitted, one says it's forbidden. Rav Chia says it's Susbil, and Rosho Aruch for sure is something. But rather, the Machlokes is this case, if Knuffav Chofen Esrubo Ayadei Hadachak. Now I say that Rosho Aruch for sure is something. When I say it's something, it's because I don't know if it's usur or mutter, because Rashi has the girsa Rosh Aruch Kuli Amal Opligi de usur, and Tosis has the girsa that Rosh Aruch Kuli Amal Opligi de mutter. No? So according to Tosis, if you have... Did any of you ever go to the kosher meal that the OU sponsored, where they eat all of like the really weird kosher foods?
Like the chef's giraffe.
They eat giraffe, right. Anyone?
What is this? Where do I sign up just to watch?
So they had one. They had one in Congregation Sherith Israel, and Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik show. They had one around 2 years ago. The problem was there was an article in the New York Times after many of the people came down with some stomach disease, because apparently one of the foods that they served was not cooked properly. Who would guess that, like, there's a whole tirade to how you cook a giraffe or a grasshopper or something? But that was the story. So they serve pheasant. They serve all of the animals that we believe to be kosher, but are somewhat controversial. Somewhat controversial because there is a... Okay, let's just go quickly. Birds, the Gemara tells us in Chulin, Ein ha'ofnechal ela b'masoras, no? That birds, even though we do have a certain simonim of an oif tahar, the Torah doesn't mention the simonim of birds, no? The Torah just lists all of the non-kosher birds, right? In Shmini and in Re'eh. It doesn't tell us the simonim of a kosher bird. We do know that there are simonim of a kosher bird. For example, if you have a korkivon that's niklaf biyad, no? A korkivon is a pupik, it's a gizzard. And if you shecht a kosher bird, you can like pull off the membrane from the outside of the gizzard. It's niklaf biyad. You don't need to use a knife to get off. That is a simon for a oif tahar. There's another simon for the oif tahar that it has a etzba yeserta, no? There's an extra finger that it has. Most oif tameis either have like some sort of webbing or they don't have like an extra finger. Oif tahars have an extra finger. This is a simon. But technically speaking, ein ha'of nechal ela b'masores, and technically speaking, even if a bird has all of the simonim of being kosher, but you can't eat it if you don't have a tradition that the bird was kosher. Which brings us, of course, to a question about turkey, right? Because turkey can't possibly have a masores, because turkey is a New World bird, no? So, Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zechrono Livracha, used to say that turkey is kosher because all holy Jews in Russia ate turkey. Which is true. Holy Jews in Russia ate turkey. But the question is, how did they come to eat the turkey originally? We don't know. Apparently, the practice developed that people started eating turkey. We don't know. It is a question. It is a question about why turkey is kosher. Some assume turkey is kosher because a turkey is like a very violent bird, no? It's like very hard to shecht because these turkeys are like, they're really tough, no? Yeah, but and chickens are like nice and easy.
Aren't we not supposed to eat violent animals like a vulture?
So you're not supposed to eat an oaf that's dores, if it like kills other things, like a vulture or whatever. But a turkey is just violent. It's like, it's not dores. What? I guess so. So there is a question as to whether turkey is kosher. There's a question as to whether Muscovy duck is kosher. There's a question, right? There's a whole bunch of questions on animals. The OU has this thing that they call the kosher seuda, where they serve a lot of foods that there's a question as to whether they're kosher, but the majority of poskim feel that they're kosher, and in order to maintain the tradition among Klai Yisrael, these animals are kosher, they will serve them. So they'll serve giraffe at this meal. No? I think Reb Sadia Gon on the pasuk Ta'ov Zomer, Reb Sadia says that Zomer is a giraffe. No?
I thought that giraffe isn't controversial, it's that it's extremely expensive and also endangered.
So, yeah, it's endangered, it's controversial. They used to say it's we don't know where to shecht a giraffe. That's like the stupidest thing ever. It's like the easiest thing in the world to shecht. Right? There's like a lot of space. Right? You're supposed to shecht between, I think, the second and third vertebrae, whatever. There's a lot of space over there. It should really be a pretty easy thing to shecht. So at the OU Kosher Seuda, they also serve grasshoppers that they have a tradition to eat. That although we assume Eina Of Necha El B'masores and other animals you can eat if you have simonim, and there are simonim of Chagovim, nonetheless the practice in Yemen developed, which is the last place I think that they ate grasshoppers for real, that they would only eat specific, right? You know this stuff? They'd only eat specific types of grasshoppers. You can't just go and buy any chocolate-coated grasshopper. You have to eat specific types. Okay, great, wonderful. By behemoths, by animals, the Chazon Ish has a reading of a shach in Simen Pei that the Chazon Ish assumes that the shach is saying that even animals should only be eaten if you have a masoras so that the animals are kosher. Which is why American bison, which apparently is like really good for you, it's like a very healthy meat, American bison won't be eaten by certain people in the Haredi community because there is no masores on American bison. In Eretz Yisrael now, there's like a whole controversy about the zebu, no? The zebu is a animal. Apparently, in Israel, most of the shechita they do now is not in Israel, it's in Argentina. And they ship the animals to Israel. So in Argentina, they started shechting a type of cattle called zebu, which the Chazon Ish said is usser because there's no masoras on it. It's a, whatever, our tradition is that we don't need a masoras on behemoths. If a behema is malagera, mefresas parasa, it's okay, no? Choose its cut, has split hooves, it's fine. It's an Uncle Maishi song. I mean, where can you go wrong? But nonetheless, the practice developed in certain Haredi communities that even for animals you need a masora. So let's go back to grasshoppers. There's a machlokes over here as to whether when Yossi ben Yoezer was meko on the Ayo Kamsa, he was being meko on Shushiba or Susbil, right? So the first opinion is he's meko on Shushiba, and the machlokes is whether Rosh HaAruch is okay. The second opinion says, no, Rosh HaAruch for sure is what? So according to Tysus, for sure it's okay. According to Rashi, for sure it is not okay. And the machlokes is whether the wings cover the majority of the body of the grasshopper, bedochak or not, whether it's a rov hanikar. Do you need to be able to see, this is the way Rashi runs the Gemara, that the wings cover the body of the grasshopper? Let's say it's exactly, you have 50.01 versus 49.99, whatever it is, right? Just exactly overlaps. So that might be a rove, but it's not a rove hanikar. And that is the machlokas between the Tanoim, between Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer and the other Tanoim and the Chachomim as to whether this is kosher. So far, so good? Now, what does this machlokas depend on? Is there any lumdus to say over here? So maybe. Maybe. It goes like this. The Sefer Beis Shmuel on Avodah Zarah has the following idea. When we say that you have to know that animals are Tamei or Tahar, you know, every year actually, when I used to oversee a program in the Smicha, I used to oversee a series of shiurim in the Smicha program called Contemporary Halacha. So in Contemporary Halacha, every year we would go to the Shlach Tais Rav Ben Chaim, who's like the Sfaradi Rosh Hashiva NYU, which shecht animals for us. Rav Ben Chaim is the only Jew I ever saw who buttons his jacket button before he shechts. Most people don't do that. Most people, but he feels that it's a mitzvah to shecht. And like when you do a mitzvah, you know, like Hasidim like button their jacket before they daven Shmoneh Esrei, because you're doing a mitzvah, you want to show that you're more formal. So he buttons his jacket button and he shechts. He's also very talented at jumping backwards, so the blood doesn't get on him. It's quite impressive that like his suit remains perfectly clean. Okay, that's what he does. Now, so the first thing that Rabbi Chaim does when he takes us to the Shlach Tais, he asks us, is this animal kosher or not? So he shows us a goat. Is a goat kosher? So you know a goat is kosher, right? But most yeshiva guys wouldn't know a goat if it bit them, right? Many of you probably might not know a goat if it bit them, although in Camp Sternberg they used to have a farm, and one of my daughters spent the only time she was in Camp Sternberg hanging out at the farm. But most normal people in camp... What? Whatever, most people don't like the farm because it smells bad. But how do you know if a goat is kosher? So what you could do is you could turn the goat over and see if it has split hooves, and you could see if it chews its cud, right? Well, to see if it chews its cud, is that easy to do? Well, if you feed it, you could see it go right back up and again, right? It's a little bit gross, but there's another way to see if it chews its cud, which is that animals that chew their cud only have one set of teeth on the top, not on the bottom, no? It's kind of easy, right? It makes a little bit of sense, because if you don't chew your cud, you need two sets of teeth to really grind that food up, no?
We have cows that only have top teeth.
Oh, we have two sets of teeth. Okay.
Yeah, top and bottom, right? Again, I don't want any like secrets. If you don't have bottom teeth, I don't want to know. Yeah, we have two sets of teeth. Thank you, Adina. Adina pointed out that we have two sets of teeth. Thank you. But animals who chew their cud have one set of teeth. Because it makes sense. What chewing the cud basically means that the food goes into a stomach, it gets ground up in the stomach, it comes back up as like a ball, and then they take that little ball and they grind it a little bit more and they swallow it a second time. No? That's what chewing the cud means? You don't need two sets of teeth. If you don't chew your cud, two sets of teeth, top and bottom, right? Top and bottom is more necessary if you don't chew your cud. So you could tell if something is a kosher animal externally, no? You just look at the animal. One set of teeth or two, right? The bottom, right? Generally, when you shecht an animal, you turn the the tradition is that we only shecht with what's called a shechita revutza, no? That the animal's turned upside down to shecht the animal. It's easier for the shechit that you're on top and you go, right, holocha v'hava. You have to do like two moves, right? To shecht it, if you do too many moves, that's a concern of shehiya. You might be stopping him of the shechita, etc. Great, wonderful. So, Rav Ben Chaim, whenever he would take us to the shlachtos, would show us the animals and say, is this kosher, is this kosher, is this kosher? And we'd have to know. And then Rav Ben Chaim would say, you know why I'm doing this? Because there's a mitzvah in the Torah, a few mitzvahs in the Torah, actually. Lahavdo bein ha-tomei v'ein ha-tohar. It's the last pasuk in Parashas Shmini. There's a mitzvah esei min ha-tohira to be able to identify which animals are kosher and which animals are not kosher. It's a mitzvah esei min ha-tohira to identify it. So, you gotta know. Now, this idea, though, that it's a mitzvah esei min ha-tohira is not so pashut. The Rambam, in Mitzvah's essay, Kuf Mem Tes, Kuf Nun, Kuf Nun Aleph, Kuf Nun Beis, etc., going on, the Rambam tells us that there's a Mitzvah's essay to identify kosher fish, Mitzvah's essay to identify kosher animals, Mitzvah's essay, Mitzvah's essay, Mitzvah's essay. Now, the Rambam, as we know, has a list of mitzvahs right after the Sefer HaMitzvos, and he gives us, like, his Sharashim, right after he gives us the rules, there's, like, the Minyan HaMitzvah's HaKotzer of the Rambam, no? The Rambam has like a very brief minyan hamitzvah. So in Kuf Mem Tes over there, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah to identify kosher animals. And the Ravid jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels. And the Ravid says, no, it's not a mitzvah. It's what's called an Isser essay. An Isser essay basically means that the Torah tells me that I'm supposed to identify the kosher animals. Everyone is maskim. But Zuck the Ravid, that's not an independent mitzvah. That's just the Torah's way of saying, don't eat treif. Right? The Torah is not really saying you have to identify positively what are the kosher animals. Rather, what the Torah is saying, Zuck the Ravid, is Isser essay. Isser essay in the sense of don't eat treif, and therefore you should know. I can find it over here. It's Kuf Mem Tes. I'm just having a hard time finding it. The Ravid says, therefore, it's really an Isser essay. Similarly, in the Sharashim, at the beginning of the Sefer Mitzvahs in Shorash Vav, the Rambam writes that sometimes you can count something as a mitzvah essay and a lav, even though it's the same din, same halacha. And the Ramban agrees with the Ravid that no, those cases when you have a mitzvah essay and a lav, it's one mitzvah. It's just the Torah is saying, like, we want you to do the mitzvah and don't do it, and we want to make sure that you do the mitzvah, right? Right? The Torah is saying, we don't want you to eat treif. This concept of Isser essay, let's say, for example, the Torah writes, that on Yom HaKippurim, so you're supposed to ta'anu as nafsho seichem. What does ta'anu mean? Does that mean you're supposed to actively inflict pain on yourself? That's a rejected possibility in the Gemara. Most often, ta'anu means don't violate the isser of eating on Yom HaKippurim. Right? So the mitzvah of ta'anu is a mitzvah, right, that would be called an isser asay. It's a mitzvah that the Torah is giving not to violate the lav. No? And similarly, by the kosher and treif animals, for the Ravid and the Ramban, it's not a mitzvah essay. it's a Isser essay, and therefore they don't count it as one of the Taryag. Right? This comes up, for example, Achilas Peroshvius, no? It's a famous mitzvah that the Rambam assumes that there's a mitzvah to each mita fruit, no? And the Ramban says, no, it's not. It's the same thing, no? Achilas Peroshvius, is the Torah saying that you have to eat shemitah fruit? Right, Rav Kook in Shabbat Haaretz entertains, maybe there's an Isser to fast, right, Shemitah is Chumrah, or Kula, whatever, maybe there's an Isser to fast the entire year of Shemitah. Because there's fruit. You have a mitzvah to eat the fruit. How can I be mavat on the mitzvah of eating the Shemitah fruit? Right? Rav Kook discusses, because there's a mitzvah of eating Shemitah fruit, so Rav Kook takes it very seriously. The Ramban says, right? Who says there's a mitzvah of eating it? It's like an Isser essay. There's some discussion also of Yishuv Haaretz, no? Is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael really a mitzvah? Or is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael just that the Torah doesn't want the land to be in the hands of our enemies, no? And therefore, right, you should do it. Do we count Isser essays as mitzvahs, or we don't count Isser essays as mitzvahs? There's a whole literature about these topics. But over here, when it comes to the simonim of non-kosher animals, bedikas ha-simonim, so the Rambam assumes that there is a mitzvah, and the Ramban / Ravid say that there's no mitzvah. So far, so good. Now, hi.
Just checking. Did we ever say what the Beis Shmuel says?
What the
Beis Shmuel says?
So we're this is all a lead up.
Cool.
Hi, Adina.
Okay. With regards to the mitzvah of Yisrael, who said that the mitzvah is a mitzvah?
So the Ramban says it's a mitzvah, both in his Perush al HaTorah, and the Rambam never counts it as a mitzvah, and that's why the Megillas Esther says that the Rambam agrees with the Shalosh Shavuos, but that's like Satmar, that's like not normative Judaism, whatever.
But in the thing that we've been saying up until now, the Ramban is the one who's more likely to say that.
So I don't know if it's like a consistent approach that the Ramban denies. One of my friends once suggested that there's a consistent approach that the Ramban doesn't count, that the Rambam doesn't count Isser essays, and the Ramban does. I don't think it's correct.
The Rambam counts
Bedikas HaSimonim, but the Rambam does not count Yishuv Haaretz.
And the Ramban does the opposite. Ramban,
right.
Everything is in the
Rambam. Nachon. So I don't think it's consistent. It's worth thinking about why it would be, but that's already advanced Talmud, or super advanced Talmud, because this is advanced Talmud, yeah.
Explain the concept in this essay again, like in the Shemitah case, like what would be...
In other words, the Torah does not want us to destroy Shemitah. The Torah does not want us to destroy Shemitah fruit. Lo'achla v'lo lehefzed, lo'achla v'lo l'schora, lo'achla v'lo l'mlogma, whatever. There's certain forbidding uses with Shemitah fruit. The Torah doesn't mean I have to eat the Shemitah fruit.
Just don't do
that. Don't do the usher things with Shemitah fruits. But maybe, no, maybe the Torah means you have to eat the Shemitah fruits. Right. I think by Shemitah also, I think I said it backwards. By Shemitah also, the Ramban says that there's a mitzvah and the Rambam doesn't quote it. Right. Shemitah and Yishuv Haaretz, the Rambam and Ramban are the same, but they flip their positions over here by Bedikas HaSimonim. What?
This is like the odd one out in there.
This is the odd one out, Nachon. So now, obviously, if it's a mitzvah or it's not a mitzvah matters in terms of how I calculate the 613 mitzvos. But perhaps it matters also, says the Beis Shmuel, in terms of our Gemara. When I say that Ruba de Minkar be'inon, so maybe what Ruba de Minkar means that you have to be able to identify that this is a kosher animal. This is a kosher grasshopper. You have to be able to look at it and say, just like I could look at the animal, and I could say, this is a kosher animal because it has split hooves, and it has top teeth, not bottom, whatever it is. I could look at the grasshopper and say, this is a kosher animal. And if you hold that it's mitzvah assay, maybe the idea of mitzvah assay is that you have to be able to recognize it. Right? Maybe Ruba Kodahu is not enough, because the whole idea is the mitzvah to positively identify. However, one could argue, and I'm not sure this is compelling, but in the Beis Shmuel he sort of sets it up this way. Maybe one could argue that if there's no mitzvah to identify animals as kosher or not, it's just that the Torah doesn't want you to eat treif. So if I know it's not treif, because 50.01% is covered, so that's enough that it's not treif. So I'm not violating the Isser treif. Right? Let's say a person, you know, by mistake, eats an animal, and it turns out that the animal was a kosher animal. But the person didn't check that it was kosher beforehand. Did the person do something wrong? According to the Rambam, and according to the Sefer HaChinuch, I gave you Makoros and the Chinuch, according to the Chinuch, you did something wrong. Because the Chinuch is saying that you have to positively identify, you are mevato the mitzvah asay of positively identifying that it's a kosher animal. And one could argue, again, that this machlokis as to whether ruba de minkar, this also comes up, by the way, in shkita, no? In shkita, you have to shecht rov of simen echad ba'of and rov shnei simanim be'behema. There are two simanim. There's the trachea and the esophagus, right? By oif, you have to shecht rov of simen echad. By behema, rov of shnei simanim. What does rov mean? Does rov mean that, like, you measure and you sit there like, you know, like you're at the Pesach Seder, like checking exactly, is it big enough? Or does rov mean, no, that you have to shecht enough that it's clear that you got rov? Right? This issue is a discussion in Chulin Daf Chavtes, whether you need rov de minker or not. Now, I do not know exactly how the other sugyas of ruba de minkera play in, no? The other sugyas of ruba de minkera are, that's sometimes you need seven people to say alokeinu. Seven men, let's say, who ate bread, no? And the three who combine, right? That's a din of ruba de minkera. I'm not exactly sure how that plays in. It's the same terms, but I don't know if it really means the same thing. But in this Gemara, one could argue that the point of ruba de minkar is to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of knowing that it's a kosher animal just with your eyes, just like all the other simonim of dagim, right? Can you tell that an animal is kosher, that a fish is kosher? Snap your vikaskeses. You go to a fairway, go to any fish store, you could tell if it's kosher, no? So this is the mahalach that the Beis Shmuel suggests at the beginning. But then the Beis Shmuel kind of throws a wrench into this. The Gemara has a drasha in Chulin that, let's say you have a fish that doesn't have scales now, but will develop the scales later. Or you have a fish that had it comes up in, later in Avodah Zarah. We'll get there. Yeah. The Daf Yomi people know this already, right? Oh, it comes up, Rashi and the Mishnah said it. That's right. Right. Rashi and the Mishnah said it. So, is that... That works. We paskin, that's okay. But there's no re'iya in that case that it's kosher. There's only yediya. I know this fish. I know this fish will grow its scales later on. There's no re'iya. But by the animal, I look at it. I know it's kosher, right? By the fish, most often I can look at it and know it's kosher, but there are times that it doesn't help. So this argument of ruba de minkar based on the mitzvah's essay of identifying, right? I missed something.
There's some noise.
What? We hope the building lasts. Let's go on. So this argument of ruba de minkar based on the mitzvah's essay, right, that you need what we would call in halacha re'iyah as opposed to yediyah, it might not suffice for cases of simanim that develop later on. the prima donna paskins by grasshoppers also. That let's say the grasshopper doesn't have all the simonim of a grasshopper, but you know they will develop later on, prima donna says, such as a kosher grasshopper, no? So, again, we're just making suggestions, but it could be that this is pshat in the Gemara. Should we go weiter? Or are there any questions here?
So how did Beit Shmuel throw a wrench into the...
So Beit Shmuel first suggests that maybe Ruba de Minkar is an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of knowing that it's a kosher animal based on just identifying it visually. But he says, no, that can't be true because many kosher species, knowledge suffices. So you don't need re'iyah, you don't need the visual sensation that... Right. Okay, let's go weiter. Mashke be'mat b'chaya is dachan. What is mashke be'mat b'chaya, by the way?
Juices of the animal accepted in the Beis
HaMikdash. So, liquids in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Mashke be'mat b'chaya, liquids in the Shkita, part of the Beis HaMikdash, are tahar, they are not tamei. Why would this be? So there's a machlokes in the Gemara. Why this is be? Everyone assumes that there is no tuma on mashke beimat b'chaya, blood or water. It's not tamei. Why? So Rav says it's dachan ma. Mishmo amar dachan mal tamei acherim avotumas atman yesh bahen. Rav says that there is zero tuma on these things. But Shmuel says that it cannot be metame other things, but it itself can become tame. Rav amadachan mamish, gazar v'tumas mashkin d'rabonon. Chi gazar rabonon tuma b'mashkin d'alma. Av amashka b'mat v'chay elo gazar rabonon. Ushmuel amar dachan metame acherim, av v'tumas hatzin yish behen. Gazar v'tumas mashkin d'oiraisa, l'tame acherim d'rabonon. Chi gazru b'mashkin d'alma, mashka b'mat v'chay elo gazru. Right, it's a relatively straightforward Gemara. According to Rav, there is no such thing as Tumas Mashkin Min HaTorah. Ochlin become Tamei. Mashkin don't become Tamei. Shmuel says, no, Mashkin do become Tamei, but Mashkin cannot transmit Tuma Min HaTorah. Everyone agrees that there is Tuma Midrabanon. However, according to Shmuel, they themselves can become Tameh even in the Beis HaMikdash. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, we're assuming that there is no Din D'Rabbanon. But the Din D'Oraisa would apply. So therefore, according to Shmuel, Mashkin Beimat B'chaya can become Tameh. They just cannot transmit Tuma anywhere else. So this is Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether we paskin that there is Tumas Mashkin, there's no Tumas Mashkin. Straightforward? Not so hard. How do we paskin? So, the cheater's way of knowing how we paskin is Ein Mishpat. So let's follow the Ein Mishpat. Does he paskin like Rav or like Shmuel? Who said Rav?
Me.
You, okay, prove it.
I mean, the Aleph is...
The letter Aleph is on Rav. Okay, let's go on. Where's the letter Beis? And the letter Gimel. What? That's on the opinion of Tumas Mashkin D'Oraisa, which is the opinion of? The opinion of Shmuel. So I don't even need to open the Rambam. Right? I could, right? I just taught you guys how to cheat. Right? I could cheat and realize that there's a stira in Rambams just because the letter Aleph in the Ein Mishpat is going within the sheet of Rav, and the letter Beis and Gimel in the Ein Mishpat is going within the sheet of Shmuel. You see that? The letter Aleph is found in Perek Yud of Tumas Ochlin Halacha Tesvav. So if I open my Rambam, and I find Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, which is in the book of Tahara, so in Perek Yud of Tumas Ochlin Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam tells me, it should be halacha tazayin, yeah. The man tells me that mashke beimat bechaya sheba azara V'hudam hakodshem v'hamayim shemishtamshem bahem sham tahorin la'olam v'ein mistamin v'lo machshirin v'dover zeh halacha mipi ha-kabbalah. Lefikach kodemei hazvachim eino mekabel tuma v'eino machshir. The Rambam says that there's a halacha mipi ha-kabbalah, which probably is like halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that it is going to be tahor entirely. That's the Shita of Rav in Perek Yud, Halacha Tazayin. In Perek Zayin of Avos HaTuma, the Rambam writes, Davar Mefurash B'Torah Sha'ochlen V'Hamashken Mistamin. It's a din d'iraisa that foods and drinks become tamei. Shenema Mikola Ocha Sha'yei Ocheo, Hashem Yavo Alav Maim Yitma, V'Chol Mashke Hashem Yishaseh, V'Chol Kli Yitma, etc. Velo hamashkin shenitmu mitamin davar acher min hatayra v'midivrei sofrim gazar la ochal tamei v'chein naga etc. v'chein gazar mashat tamein sheyitamu ochal la mashkin shenagu v'hen. So it's a beferish astir in the Rambam. No. Now the problem is that we're not learning psachim now, and if we'd learn psachim, we'd probably be skipping this also. Because it's a very, very long sugya. The beginning of the first parak of Psachim, this sugya of Reb Chanina's Gana Kohanim, that goes through like all the rules of Tum and Tahara, and like everyone skips it besides Dafyomi people. And in that sugya, there's a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel as to whether there is Tumas Mashkin Min HaTorah in that. And then there's a third shita. The third shita is a shita of Rav Papa. That Rav Papa basically assumes that there is a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai on the mashkin, and the Rambam is probably paskining like that third shita, like that halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. So although it seems to be a stira in the Rambams, and the Lecha Mishnah in one place, at the end of Hilchos, what's it called? Psulei HaMukdashim. The end of Paragraph of Hilchos Psulei HaMikdashim, the Lecha Mishnah has a long essay where he tries to put the whole sugya together, and the Rambam is past like a third position. Our Gemara sets it up like these two points are contradictory, but if you have the other sugyas, it's really not such a problem. It's just, there's a third shita out there. That's who the Rambam paskins like. It's not like our Gemara.
So like the Chayim Mamish is just irrelevant.
That's right.
Even though it's brought down
the correct. It's because it's brought down l'alocha because the Rambam is passing like a totally different position out there. Oh, actually, I forgot to give all of you the Ravids. Here, you should take these. These are Chidushei HaRavid on Avodah Zorah and this stuff. You could take a look. I think I gave you a Ravid in the Mar Makomos.
Yeah.
So, and you can't find it because it's not in Bar Ilan. But that's the Ravid. At least that's this page of the Ravid. Okay, let's go on. Yes, I forgot to push the 8.5x11 button on the copier. You all noticed, right?
Color.
Yeah, it's colored. I used a better copy machine. Whatever. I was in a rush and I totally just pushed the button. And, you know, if it cost YU an extra 3 cents, so then, you know, they could either deduct it from my salary or not. It's their choice. Okay, weiter. And they called him Yosef Sharia. Frek the Gemara, if you become close to a mace, that you become Tamei, that should be Yosef Asra Mibayale. No? Now, the Rashash over here comments that when we speak about Yosef Asra, it doesn't really make sense that they should call him Yosef, the guy who assered, because push comes to shove, he was matir two things, and he assered one thing. So it would still make sense to call him Yosef Sharia, because he has more kulas than he has chumras. But at least in this context, right, yeah, this is the Rashash. Eino muvan, kevan de beiz devarm heyed lahatir, yikare asra mishum chada de isura. Why would he be called asra? Because of one iser, v'yeshno ra dehachi kama, da dovaseh adaraba asra mibayale. In other words, what the Gemara means is that on this one thing, he should be called Yosef Asra. They called him Sharia because of the other things. Okay, whatever it is. But that's the Gemara's Kasha. They should call him Yosef Asra. The Ode, Moreover, frek the Gemara, the fact that if you come in contact with a mace, then you become tamei, that's a pasuk, that's a din d'oraisa. It says, chala sheyiga afnei asad, nebachal al-cherev o b'mace. So, of course, that's a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara answers, d'oraisa d'yikrav tamei, d'yikrav b'd'yikrav tahar. V'asu inhu v'gazur afilu d'yikrav b'd'yikrav. By the way, who's the inhu? Right? I don't know. Inhu means they. Right? It should really be ihu, shouldn't it? Isn't this? Yosei ben Yoezer said it. Is there anyone else with him?
The royal ladies.
What? They disagreed with him. They is the Chachamim. What? Reb Yehuda Nisiya said he doesn't want to be Mekel on Pass because then they'll call him a big Mekel like Yosef ben Yoezer, who would have been called a big Mekel, right? Who wanted to be Mekel and they didn't let him.
He said that he passed like Reb Yosi by the star.
Right, no, that's that he passed like Reb Yosi. That's within Reb Yehuda Nisiya. That was his second kula, right? The kula from Gittin.
Doesn't the bartender say something about it really being this was like the halacha was like Reb Yosi said, but no one actually followed it. It was like, oh, that's like not a thing.
He's like, well, the bartender said that you have to give good reasons if you want to give lots of kulas, right? That's
right,
what we spoke about.
No, I'm saying when he was explaining this.
Oh, yeah, earlier.
When he was explaining this opinion, or like this, I guess, kula, review of scene, he said something about it being something to do with the fact, like, something about Rishos Yachar, Rishos Rabin, and how even everyone thought that it was just Rabin that you become Tamei.
But that's going to be in the continuation of the Gemara. That we'll talk about what the suffix Tuma Bershus Hayachah. That's the second way to understand what Yosei ben Yoezer was saying. I just don't understand the word de'inhu over here, right? Because it seems to me it should be de'ihu.
Which side was he in the Zug? Was he not Bezen?
What? Oh, I don't remember.
If he's not Bezen, it could just be him and his Bezen.
Okay, but either way, it could be he and, right? We don't know who's, we don't know. Yeah. My guess would be, I should check, I have the Xaviat at home. I should check. My guess would be that this word should be Ihu, and it's a mistake. Fine. V'asu inhu v'gazur, by the way, v'gazur is the Aramaic form of gazru, that you just take the vav and you put it in the middle instead of being right at the end. Fine. V'asu inhu v'gazur afil d'yikra b'd'yikra. Oh, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Let's read this Gemara again. Do'iraisa, frankly, it's do'iraisa if you touch a mace. So the Gemara says, do'iraisa d'yikra b'tamei d'yikra b'd'yikra b'tahar. V'asu inhu are the chachamim made a gezeira afil d'yikra b'd'yikra. V'asu ihu v'ukma d'oiraisa d'yikra b'd'yikra b'nami do'iraisa. Okay, I totally butchered this. Basically, what the Gemara says is like this, that Yosef ben Yoezer was more Mekel. He's really Yosef Sharia, because the Chachamim came and they say that if you touch someone who touches a mace, you become Tamei. And he says, no, we should keep the Din d'Oraisa, that what? That if you touch someone who touches a mace, you're not Tamei. Right? Okay, I totally butchered this. Got it. Right? Now we got it the right way? Nachamo. Right? The Gemara asks, why? Bequan came Yosef Shai Shabbat Yosef Asra. Right? Moreover, to Din D'Oraisa, so that if you touch a mace, you're Tamei. So the Gemara answers, no, the Din D'Oraisa is if you touch a mace, you're Tamei. If you touch someone touches a mace, you should be Tahar. The Chachamim made a gezeira. If you touch someone touches a mace, you also become Tamei. And Yosef ben Yoezer said, "V'asa ihu v'ukma d'oraisa." That if you touch someone touches a mace, then you are going to remain tahar. So the Gemara asks, "What do I mean? The yikrav and the yikrav is also d'oraisa." D'chsev v'chalashen yigabo ha'tamei yitma. the Tamei became Tamei from the mace. And if he touches you, you become Tamei. Amarur Rabban, Kamei de Rava, Mishmei de Marzutra, Brei de Rav Nachman, Domer, Mishmei de Rav Nachman, Doi Raisa, the Yikra, Bid the Yikra, Bichiburin, Tumas Shiva, Shalob Bichiburin, Tumas Erev, the Asu Inhu Vigazra, Filo Shalob Bichiburin, Tumas Shiva, the Asu Ihu Vukma Ad Oraisa. Right, the Gemara says that there's a difference between Tumah b'chiburin and Shelo b'chiburin. Tumah b'chiburin means like this. Let's say this is the mace. If I'm touching the mace, and then you're touching me, right? That's Tumah b'chiburin. So that's a din d'oraisa, that what? That you should be Tumei Shiva. Shelo b'chiburin. Let's say I touched the mace. Now I'm no longer touching the mace. And then you touch me. So me ikar hadin min hatayra. It should only be Tumas Erev. It should not be Tumas Shiva. But the Chachamim were gozer that even Tumas Shelo B'chiburin is Tumei Shiva. And Yossi ben Yoezer is Mekel, and he says that Shelo B'chiburin is only Tumas Erev. So far, so good? So then the Gemara asks, Do'i Raisa Maihi? Dichsev hanugeh b'neis b'chomesh ad l'chom nefesh adam v'tomei shivas yamim uksev kashen yigaba atomei yitma uksev hanefesh hanugas tidma do'erev. Right, basically this is still in the psukim. Are you tomei shiva? Or are you tomei ad ha'erev? Ha'ketzad? Kan b'chiburin? Kan shelo b'chiburin? If it's tuma b'chiburin, then you are tomei shiva. Shelo b'chiburin should be tumas erev. The Chachamim made a gezeira de Rabbanan that even Shelo b'chiburin is Tomei Shiva. And Yossi ben Yoezer lightened that gezeira. So then Rava comes, and Rava says, Lava minu lechu lo tislu bei buki sriki b'rav Nachman. Hachem Rav Nachman, Savik tum b'shus ha'rabim hit yolahem. Right? We'll have to talk about this more next time. But basically, the Gemara is saying, don't attach empty bottles in Rav Nachman, meaning that Yossi ben Yoezer's kula was not about tuma shelo b'chiburin, that it's going to only be tumei erev. Rather, the kula is related to safek tuma in Rishos HaYochid, safek tuma Rishos HaRabim. That's what the Gemara says. Now, Tosfos comments that fundamentally the halacha is not changing. Everyone agrees that tuma b'chiburin is d'oraisa. Tuma shelo b'chiburin is not d'oraisa, to be tamei shiva. But Yossi ben Yoezer wasn't talking about that. That's what Tosfos learns. The Rambam, however, writes that Tuma shelo b'chiburin is not the oraisa, and that we'll talk about next time we learn. That's the Rambam Perek Hey of Tumas Meis Halacha Beis. So the Rambam is arguing on this Tosfos, and we'll have to focus on that on Wednesday, assuming there's no snowstorm. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay.